The word today is Smyrna. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. The book of Revelation is not all about intense images and predictions of future events. The book starts with messages to seven churches from the resurrected Lord Jesus. The congregation in Smyrna were being persecuted, and Christ wanted to reassure them that nothing could take away their eternal reward. He said they will not be hurt by the second death. Here with an explanation is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Smyrna.
What do you say to people that are anticipating nothing but suffering, pain, even torture, being jailed? How do you encourage these people? How do you help them to endure what they are going through? That's the situation we find in a letter from Jesus to the Christians in the church in a place called Smyrna. This is found in Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 8 and following. I shared with you once previously the first letter of Jesus, and that was to the church in Ephesus. And there are seven churches that received special discussions from the Lord Jesus, encouragements, criticisms, challenges, and reminders that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We also saw that Jesus individually encourages each church to draw closer to Him. Take a look at the church in Smyrna where it says in verse 8, "To the angel in the church of Smyrna, write, these are the words of Him who is first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." You get a sense here that these Christians were undergoing severe persecution. There's discussion of being thrown in jail for a period of time. There is even discussion of suffering death for the name of Jesus. What the Lord is doing here is trying to prepare these Christians for an attack from the world. And the first thing He does is He identifies Himself as the first and the last. You might remember that Jesus is calling Himself the Alpha and the Omega also in Revelation. He is the beginning and the end. This kind of takes me back to the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, who discuss that there is only one God. There are no others. There are no idols. There are no contenders. There's only the Lord God of heaven and earth, the maker of this world, the one who redeems His people. And Jesus takes all of these titles and He applies them to Himself. There is no other Lord than Jesus Christ, the first and the last. Now, how can that be if He is first and last and the God of the Old Testament is saying the same thing? Well, that is because Christianity teaches a triune God, three persons in one Godhead. And so there is no conflict in the end. It's a very unusual symmetry. That's a very different kind of thing for us to contemplate God as Trinity, but that's how He reveals Himself in the Bible. And Jesus making the claim that He is first to last means that He covers all situations, that He is all-powerful, that He is all-capable, all-knowing. there is nothing that Christ cannot handle then. There, in fact, we see that he even defeats death by his resurrection. So anything that humans are going to encounter when we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us, there is nothing that we cannot overcome. In fact, that's why Jesus says in verse 11, to him who overcomes, that they will not be hurt at all by the second death. In fact, that phrase is used in all of these seven letters to the Christians. There's always something to overcome. There is always some enemy. There is always an attempt to try to destroy and to thwart the Christian. And Jesus calls us forward, even in the face of suffering, even in the face of persecution, to continue to confess his name, to continue to endure for the sake of the gospel, and we will then become overcomers, individuals who will receive the crown of life in Jesus' name. Smyrna was an interesting community, the letter to which Jesus addressed these words. Smyrna, Jesus said, had a synagogue of Satan. It's very possible that this was the kind of reference that Jesus had in mind when he was referring to the Jews as children of the devil. Now, this was not all Jews, of course. These were the ones that were antagonistic to Jesus, the ones that hated Jesus, that wanted to see him killed. And it was probably that smaller group of very hostile Jews to the Christians that wanted to see them persecuted, wanted to see them hauled away as they had done to Jesus. In fact, there was an early church father named Polycarp who lived around 69 to 155 AD. He was the bishop of this town of Smyrna, in other words, a Christian leader. And he was bound and burned at the stake, and he was martyred for the name of Jesus. So you start to see then why Jesus is warning them, because there would be opposition that would come against them locally. And this history of this region being set against the Christian would continue for at least 150 or 200 years, and the early Christians were being warned of that. Some of them would be put in prison. Some of them would be martyred. Let's stop for a moment and remember our brothers and sisters in faith around the world who suffer real persecution, even torture, being jailed, and some being martyred, killed, for nothing more than having love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. For confessing Jesus publicly, some of our brothers and sisters get hauled away and beaten and jailed. Others have their properties confiscated. Some have their families ripped apart. Many individuals have to flee their local community under threat of death. This really happens. This takes place in the world today because there are many that hate the Lord Jesus. There are many that have contempt for Christ. And so the words that Jesus said to the Christians that were struggling and persecuted in Smyrna also apply to Christians today. He knows the slander that you're undergoing. He knows that there are individuals that might hate you and torture and jail you. You may have to undergo persecution for a period of time, but remember, Jesus is the one who is first and last, the one who has control of history from beginning to end, the one who has been raised from the dead. And that's why he says in verse 11 that whoever hears him, whoever believes in him, will overcome. You will not be touched. You will not be hurt by the second death. What is this discussion of a second death? I have a phrase that I use in connection with this phrase, the second death, and here's what I usually say. If you are born again, that is, if you come to Jesus Christ and you receive him and through the Holy Spirit are born again, usually this happens with baptism, receiving the Spirit of God. So let's start it again here. If you are born again, you will only die once. If you are not born again, you will die twice. Now, I'm referring here to the physical aspect of birth and death, but I'm also referring to the spiritual aspect of birth and death. We all are born once physically, and then, of course, unless Christ returns, we all die physically. But there's also spiritual rebirth. That's being born again, becoming a Christian. And if you are born again, if you come to the Lord Jesus, you will not have to suffer the second death, the spiritual death, going to hell, being condemned. And so all of those who are suffering in this world may see physical death and persecution, but the encouragement is that they will never see the second death. I urge you to take these words to heart, that if you have not received Jesus Christ, you do so, because you can be given a promise that you will never see the second death. I hope you value that, and I hope you hold Jesus Christ as more important to you than anything else. I hope that you will learn to come to love him, even if people around you disdain you and hate you. It is more important to receive Jesus Christ and be with him. Those that receive Jesus have the promise that if they are born again, they will die only once and will receive eternal life. I hope that you will come to Jesus Christ, receive him, and obtain that promise never to be destroyed by the second death.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.